Welcome to the Success with God and Psych podcast, where it's all about a purpose-driven life where God and psychology mix together and guide your way. And now, your host who's funny, informative, and a straight shooter, doing this so you have a better life, Dr. Jessica Kersner.
Hello, beautiful people. It's Dr. Kersner here. And you know what I like to say? There's no better day than today for blessings, impact, and purpose. Today's episode is a little different in that I'm calling it questions. And a few days ago, I sent out a few feelers out to listeners and people that are on the Healing Ikes page and said, hey, if you had to ask someone questions, could you guys ask me questions that you would find interesting, that you would want responses to? Just random questions, not too serious, not too simple. But I thought it would be cool to ask these questions here live and answer them live and give my honest responses. And so that's what we will do today. So after this break, we'll start with that, and I hope you enjoy.
Meet Fred. Fred once felt stuck in a rut, and he had trouble connecting with other people. Then Fred read the book Path to Loving Yourself by Dr. Jessica Kersner. Fred found the book interesting and exciting. The down-to-earth approach that the book takes helped to increase his self-esteem. Now, Fred spends less time feeling bad, and he grew to first love himself. Eventually, he gained the capacity to connect with others. You too can benefit from The Path to Loving Yourself by Dr. Jessica Kersner. Get your copy for only $9.95 from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Books A Million. That's Path to Loving Yourself by Dr. Jessica Kersner. Get up on your signed copy at healingactscoach.org.
All right, and we're back. So first question was, when did you consider yourself an adult? My honest response for that would be probably when I had kids. I don't know if I truly even still consider myself an adult, self, or when I'm being a parent. Other than that time, you being an adult, you always think about the responsibility that you have, and with your kids, you cannot ignore that you have a lot of responsibility. And so at that time, I most feel like an adult, honestly. But outside of that, I'm a kid at heart. And so half of the time, I'm just like, oh, you know, I'm a big kid at heart, and I'm still a kid. Paying bills makes you feel like an adult, because I want to blow my money, but I can't because I have to live and survive. But so during, I think it's moments for me. It's not really just when in my life did I go, hey, this is the moment I've become an adult, except for when I became a parent. I would say that was it. When someone else's life depended on me and I couldn't just do anything foolish spontaneously, that's when I had to face the fact that I am no longer free to be irresponsible, if that makes sense. So that's the answer to that question. Next question. What motivates you to improve yourself? What motivates me to improve myself? I don't know. I think my mom, when I was very young, always said, you want to be the best version of you could be. And if you want to be a janitor, be the best janitor. And if you want to be a wife, be the best wife. And so I really think what motivates me is those early messages on when I was very young, when the fact that that's what she said. She said, be the best. Don't be subpar ever. And so what motivates me to continually improve myself in any area is just the fact that she sent those messages early on. And that's the main place that it came from. I could say that it became an internal process, but I chose to internalize what she said and say, hey, that makes sense. It's not that if the world determines what I will be. It's just whatever I determine that I am, or whatever I determine I'm going to be, or whatever I find my purpose to be the best at it. Don't settle for just doing, constantly achieve. And so what's the next question? What music do you want at your funeral? At my funeral, let's see. Initially, I think I would say I want something happy for people to play at my funeral, because I think I am, I like to laugh. I like to have fun. And so, I think, they could play a circus music at my funeral, and I think no one would find that funny but me, but that they would play that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That would be hilarious for me. If I had a song I truly would want them to sing, I like Walk Around Heaven by Patti LaBelle. That's an amazing song. And it's just that, to me, it confronts your, it would help the people that are living confront their mortality, and hopefully it wants them to make some change or to live their life to the fullest. I've always lived my life as in live every day as if it's your last. And so the one thing I would want to convey is that you never know when that last day could be. You also have the song Tomorrow by The Whinings, which does the same thing. And that just is a song that says that, you know, today is the day that you would want to choose God, because if you keep saying tomorrow, or you keep saying you want to be perfect, or you keep waiting for the next day to come, then one day that next day is not going to be here. And have you chosen your right path? So that would be it. So we're going to take a short break, and then after this, we'll do some more questions. Okay, and we're back. So next question. What do you most regret and wish you could redo? Let's see. I try to live my life without regrets. I've always said if I live every day as if it's my last day, then I won't have too many regrets. But in life, you make mistakes. But I'm still a person that believes that, you know, those mistakes have shaped me into who I am. And so I'm always careful to say that I would not want to redo something, because then it would not make me into the person I am today, which obviously, if you're constantly reevaluating things and changing yourself, then that should be a better person. And so, but if I had to say something I truly, truly regret, even if it has made me a better person now, I think I would regret it. One time, a long time ago, when I was in college, I dated this guy, and he's going to go unnamed, but we dated for several years, and he was not necessarily the greatest boyfriend ever, but he had a lot of like internal pain. And at that time, I was young and in love and crazy, and there were things that when he would hurt me on purpose, that I was very vindictive and said things to him that I know would trigger those places for him. And now I can't say, at the time, I think I did not like that I did it. But now I would say if I had one thing to regret, I would, that would be the thing that I regret the most, just because that was the one time I could remember that I was intentionally mean to someone or intentionally hurtful. And although he was not nice to me and he did things to hurt me, it's not okay that I hurt him in that manner. So, you know, maybe it would have been better if I had, like, I don't know, done something crazy versus that mental mind play. But that would be the one thing I regret if I had to say that was truthful. So let's go to the next question. Do you think any kind of afterlife exists? Instantly, I'm gonna have to say yes. I do believe in heaven. I do believe that after this place, that I am going to reunite with God and all of my family, and we're gonna be in the pearly gates, as you say. I choose God, and that's my choice. And I am a Christian, and I believe that. I do think that most people sort of believe in some type of afterlife. But if you don't, then you just don't, I guess. But I do. So that's how I would answer that question. Next question. Does a person's happiness level depend mostly on the good or bad things that they have helped the person? Does a person's happiness level depend mostly on the good or bad things that have happened to the person or something else? I would like to think that it does not, but yes, your past can affect your level of happiness. To be honest, I think if you try to get over that, then it shouldn't affect your present happiness. If you live in the past, some people choose to live in the past, and sometimes the past haunts you, and it's not that you're choosing, it's just that it kind of creeps in there. But I think your overall happiness, and when I say overall happiness, not the day-to-day dependency, is like, okay, so overall, am I happy with life? Should not depend on everything that has happened to you, but your day-to-day happiness can be impacted by things in the past that either you have done or that have happened to you, just because we're human and we think about stuff all the time, and stuff kind of creeps in there, and your brain is always constantly trying to help you improve and help you live longer. And so what it's saying is that, hey, you know, if I constantly relive this negative moment, then I can correct it and then it won't happen again. That is essentially why PTSD exists. Is because it's like, hey, we felt like we weren't surviving either physically or emotionally in your head. And so it's saying, let's think about this. And so when that prompts, when that comes up, when it's triggered, that can affect your emotions, and you can't do anything about that. You can't say like, I'm not going to be triggered. But overall, I would hope that no, that's not. And if you are a person and that your past, the good or bad things are affecting your level of happiness, you know, I'm a psychologist, so I'm going to say, let's get some therapy and start to change how that affects your overall happiness. And that it really just goes day to day and not your overall level of happiness. And so I'm going to take a short break, and then we have just two more questions, and that's it for today. All right. And we're back. So next question would be, would you rather be liked or respected? That's a good question. Thinking about it is like, it's like, I'm trying to think, would one automatically put the other, but it wouldn't, because you can be respected and not liked, and you can also, people can like you and not respect you. And so let's see which one I would probably rather be. I don't know. That's very difficult. You know, my brain going situational first. So I'm just going to talk this one out because I really can't think about it. It simply is like, so if you're respected, I'm thinking like my boss, you know, I respect my boss. I actually like my boss too. She's a very nice person. But if I had to say, if you respected me, but you do not like me, then I mean, I guess the respect would say that you would have to be a certain way with me. But if you liked me but you didn't respect me, well, chances are if you like me, then you know, we can hang out and have fun and stuff like that. But if you didn't respect me, then I don't know that you would actually like tell people, other people, to hang out with me, is kind of, or like be true friends with me or true to me. So maybe I would rather be respected than liked. I would hope I would want to be both respected and liked. But if I have to pick one, then I guess I'm going to go for respected, because then at least because respect, I think of as you earn, is not just given. So that you're saying, OK, you respect me because of what I do or how I behave or how I am with you. Versus if you like me, I mean, I know there have been people I liked. And I mean, honestly, that's because they're just fun. But at the end of the day, if somebody wanted me to say, you know, is that person a good person? Probably not. They're just, but I do like them like to hang out with in that moment. So I guess like is so subjective that I'm going to pick respect. So that's my answer. Next, what do you think about when you are alone? When I am alone, I think about my family, how happy I am with my life, and how can I change things? So I'm always trying to find a way to help people, make an impact, to be somehow to give back and to help people be better. And really, that's because God called me to do it. So it's like, if I am by myself or if I'm down, my downtime, I am truly, honestly thinking, you know, have I helped someone today? How can I help the next person? How can I make a difference? But with my actions, not in just in theory, or it's like, what can I do differently? And I help people every day. And I'm not saying I don't do it already, but it's just like that desire to help people burns very strongly. And I think about it, and I think about how I love my husband and my kids and my family. my family's in South Carolina and I'm in Kansas right now. And, you know, I miss them all the time and I try to make sure they can feel that I love them. And so if you're an important person to me, whether you're not related by blood or are so, I always think about, am I showing that? Am I making them know that they are valuable to me, that they are important to me? Because at one point in time, I can remember there were people in my world that tried to say that I was important to them, but the actions didn't match up. And I always said, and I was very young with this. So this was like before age 10. And it's like those people to me, you say you love me, but I never see you. You I'm insignificant to you because if you can come and not, you can come into my town and not see me, or you can not say, hey, or you can not make sure I'm taken care of, then how do you say you love me? And so that has always, because that was my early experience, that is with just a few people in my world. That to me was like, okay, I need to make sure that I'm never that person. And so I always want to make sure my family and my friends know that they're important to me. And so my last question to hopefully be a good one. What long lost childhood possession of yours would you like to see again? Ha! What one I would like to see again? I used to have a Teddy Ruxpin that my mom got me. You know, Teddy Ruxpin, he used to, you put a tape in his back. Well, I'm dating myself right now, but still, you'd put a tape, a cassette in Teddy Ruxpin's back. And then he, when you hit the play button, his mouth would move and he would talk. And I loved it. It was my favorite toy. I think I broke his eye. His jaw might have been torn off, but I would love that. Even with like beat up, dirty, if he were in the attic, dusty, I'd want that one back. I love that toy. My mom brought that for me, and I don't know why that was my favorite toy. I don't know like what made him my favorite, other than I don't know. I just have very fond memories of him. He was like my friend. And so that would be my long lost childhood possession. My mom had it in the attic one time, and I remember one time I went up there and I played with it for a while and put it back where she had it. And I don't know if it's still in her attic. I think I'm going to call her and ask her. Last time I think I asked her about this probably was a couple of months ago, maybe 6 months ago. I asked her about it and she said it may be still up there, but she doesn't know. But it'd be nice to get that and have that at my house. Or if I just want mine. I don't want another antique one. I want my Teddy Ruxpin. He was my friend. But anyways, all right. So that's it for questions today. I hope you enjoyed this. Please subscribe to the podcast at Success with Psych and God with Dr. Jessica Kersner. You can find me at HealingX, Dr. K at Facebook, at Twitter, HealingX, and HealingXCoach.org. Please subscribe. Please share. And do send me messages. Let me know if you enjoyed the question series. I'm going to do it again if it gets a lot of reviews and comments to say, hey, we kind of like that. And if you have a question, put that in there too. And the next time it comes, you never know. I may pick yours. I kind of just go for some random few that I see. And so until next time, see you later, guys.